This morning's reading is from Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 14 to 20. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart. O daughter of Jerusalem, the Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day you will say to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. The sorrows for the appointed feast I will remove from you. They are a burden and a reproach to you. At that time I will deal with all who are oppressed you. I will rescue the lame and gather those who have been scattered. I will give them praise and honour in every land where they were put to shame. At that time I will gather you. At that time I will bring you home and will give you honour and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord.
So here we are in the season of Advent, thinking about God's Messiah, the baby who came, and the Old Testament speaks about this coming king, as you know. God's coming king who was God's son, Jesus, who came to save. Now the mission of Jesus was to bring the gospel, to preach, to teach, and to heal, and also to die on the cross, as has already been mentioned. But Jesus also prophesied about the future. We sing about Jesus, prophet, priest, and king. And Jesus talked about the future and how he would return again. He talked about other things about the future as well. And in this Old Testament book of Zephaniah, only a little book, as you can see, it also speaks of future events for the people of Judah. And the prophet Zephaniah here is bringing God's word to these people. Now, the people of Judah were not in a good place. They had turned away from God. They had displeased God greatly because of their wickedness and because of their idolatry. And God had pronounced judgment upon them for the future. But in the last chapter of Zephaniah, there is a note of hope and victory which really brightens up the page. And for the peoples of Judah and of Jerusalem, there is a hope and there is a future. You, along with me, I'm sure, would have listened to some of the things that were said after the aftermath of the election this last week. And one of the leaders who I heard... They hadn't done very well, the party, and they said that they were hoping that there would be hope in the country, but that's been lost. I thought that's a very sad situation, don't you? If they're thinking that their policies was the hope for the country. Our hope is in the eternal God. The Bible warns us about putting our hope in authorities and in leaders and in all of those people who are in places, political places. Our hope is in God. And we thank God for that. There's hope in this last chapter because the people have been given an opportunity to repent and to get right with God. And in chapter 2, I forgot to tell you, if you'd like to open your Bible to Zephaniah. Not an easy one to find, but I can help you by giving you a page number. 945. Everybody's reaching for their Bibles now. 945. And in this second chapter of Zephaniah, we read this in verses 1, 2, and 3. And here God is speaking through his prophet, and he says, gather together, O shameful nation. What a thing that God has to say to these people. They are shameful because they turned their back on him and gone their own way. And in verse 2 it says, before the appointed time arrives and that day sweeps on like chaff. In other words, that day of judgment which God had pronounced on them. Before the fierce anger of the Lord comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's wrath comes upon you, here's the hope. Seek the Lord, all you humble of the land, you who do what he commands. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you'll be sheltered on the day of the Lord's anger. God is giving the people who are willing to repent and turn back to him and get right, he is willing to have them back again. And there's the hope for these people. And for those who responded, they will be forgiven and they will be protected. I said in chapter 3, there was hope and victory. And so there is. And in verses 14 and 15 of chapter 3, we read this. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. Isn't that a great line? The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. What great verses they are. So for those people of Judah who had been spiritually restored, they were to sing and shout and rejoice and be glad. You might say, why? Why? Because the Lord, the King of Israel, is with them and has taken away their punishment. He's taken it away and they need not fear, for God is watching over them. How much better that is than their countrymen who worship gods of metal and wood and stone. The idols who they have made, these idols cannot hear, they cannot see, and more importantly, they cannot save. You might think to yourself, well, haven't these people got more intelligence than to make something of wood and stone and metal and worship that instead of God? But we live in a country where there's all kinds of idols, don't we? We live in a country where people worship all kinds of other things rather than God. I don't need to name them because you know them. In fact, it's one of the things as Christians that we have to be careful of, isn't it? That we don't allow idols to creep into our lives and that we always hold the Lord Jesus at the center of our lives and look to him. And also, although this book of Zephaniah is directed about God's people at this time in history, we 21st century Christians, we 21st century believers are drawn in because the blessings that were promised to Jewish believers flow out to us as well. In God's grace they flow out to us as well. And in Galatians chapter 3, verses 28 and 29, we read these verses. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. What a great verse that is. There is neither Greek nor Jew, slave or free, male or female, for those of us who trust Jesus as our Saviour, we are all one in Christ Jesus. And it goes on to say in verse 29, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I hope you're encouraged this morning by God's word. That's one of the reasons you're supposed to come to church, actually, is to be encouraged. Did you know that? You might have thought it was a bit warmer here than at home. That we are all one in Christ Jesus if we are a follower of Jesus. And that's because God has given us the opportunity to become his followers and his children. Because remember, where Paul in Romans talks about Abraham who trusted God and he believed God and therefore God made him righteous because Abraham believed him. So Abraham became a spiritual son of God. And for all of us who are followers of Jesus, for all of us who have come to the throne of God and said, Father, I am a sinner, I need to repent. For all of us, we are also spiritual heirs, the same as Abraham. We belong to God, therefore we are all one in Christ Jesus. It does not matter what nationality you are. If Jesus is your Saviour, you are a son or a daughter of the living God. But there is more to rejoice about in this chapter. In verse 16, it refers to that on that day. So what does that mean? Well, we understand that that is the day of the Lord. It has two meanings in the Bible. One is a day of judgment on God's people in the Old Testament when they are disobedient. And we see that in Zephaniah, where God has judged the people here and saying, because of your disobedience, I will, at some day in the future, I will punish you. My judgment will become come down upon you. And the second meaning, it is God's final intervention in the law, in the lives of men and women on this planet. The day of the Lord. It's the time when God intervenes in the world at the end of time. And on that day, the nations will stand before God. On that day, the nations will stand before God. For those who belong to Jesus and are his disciples, verse 17 says an amazing thing. It says this: the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Amazing thing. That God will take great delight in us. Those who believe in him, those who belong to him, those who revere the name of Jesus, and we say that Jesus is our Lord and Saviour. He will rejoice over us with singing. Could we have the first graphic, please? So the king He shouts with joy and delights in his children. That's what the Bible tells us. That God himself will take delight in us. We will be welcomed by God. For he is our God. We don't need to be afraid of him. We don't need to stand before him with our fingers crossed, hoping that we'll get in. Did you realize that when you became a Christian? You didn't have to fear the future. You didn't have to cross your fingers and hope that you would get to heaven. It's a guarantee. We will be welcomed by God, for we are his people. That's something to shout about. That's something to shout about, for we are his people. At the beginning of this service, we sang in the chorus of the hymn, "Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west." Why? Why? Can you remember what it says? Because Jesus is Saviour to all. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Saviour to all. What is he? Lord of heaven and earth. Be encouraged by that. Whatever you worry about the future, Jesus is Lord of heaven and earth. Nobody can change that. And that's where our hope is. So God himself will rejoice over us and take great delight in us, the Bible says. You know, God's love is so great for us, we can't comprehend it. It's not the kind of love which we experience. It's not the kind of love which we have an understanding for. God's love is beyond our comprehension. And also in this verse 17, there is this sense that it is a bridegroom in love with his bride. You notice that verse 17, it says, he will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. There's a compassion about it. There's a tenderness about it. He will rejoice over you with singing. In Isaiah 62 verse 5, the latter part of the verse, it says, as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. So there is this sense that God has this love for us. Because we belong to him. Because he's our Father. And he will rejoice over us. Who then is this bridegroom? Second, please. The bridegroom. Who is the bridegroom? Well, the Bible makes it clear that the bridegroom is Jesus. Jesus spoke to people when he was on earth, and he referred to himself as the bridegroom. It is Jesus who is the bridegroom. And then you might think, well, hang on, there's the bride. Who is the bride? Thank you, Neil. The bride is the church of God. And so we have the bridegroom, and we have the bride. We have Jesus and the church. Now, I'm not talking about a church made of bricks and mortar. Forget that. We are the church. If you're sitting in your seat this morning and saying, well, I'm a follower of Jesus, well, you're the church. So much better than bricks and mortar. Why? Because bricks and mortar will be swept away. And the Bible tells us that all of these things will go and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. It is the church, it is those who have put their trust in Jesus and are his disciples. We are the bride. Now, you may not feel like a bride, and if you're male, you definitely won't feel like a bride. But as part of the church, Jesus, the bridegroom, is coming for his bride. The Bible makes it clear that Jesus will return to earth for his bride. The baby that was born in the stable then went to the cross and now sits at the right hand of God. He will return again for his bride. Amen to that. So what is the most important thing? What is the most important thing? The most important thing is that we are ready to meet the bridegroom. Don't miss out on this tremendous opportunity of belonging to God. In Isaiah chapter 55 it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found." So what's the best time to seek the Lord? While you're alive. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. If you are not sure about your salvation, if you are not sure that you belong to God, speak to somebody before you leave this morning. And talk about where you are. For it is most important that the baby who came and died on the cross, Jesus, the Son of God, the Bible tells us that he came to seek and to save those who were lost. And if you don't belong to Jesus, you're lost. And Jesus came to save you.